The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I think great offense will be played in this league. I think great defense will be played in this league. And I think the future for this league is as bright as any league in the country.
Big Ten and Pac-12 have spoken. They've let us know there'll be no football. But the discussion is not over yet. It's College Football Live. David Pollack, Greg McElroy, Joey Galloway. I am Jason Fitz. And gentlemen, right now the news cycle is being dominated by Justin Fields, star quarterback Heisman hopeful out of Ohio State. He is leading a petition at this point that has been signed not only by star players but also by parents, asking the Big Ten to reinstate the 2020 football season immediately. Here's some of the commentary he's got in his statement where he says, "We, the football players of the Big Ten, together with the fans and supporters of college football, request that the Big Ten Conference immediately reinstate the 2020 football season. Allow Big Ten players and teams to make their own choice as to whether they wish to opt out or this fall season. Allow Big Ten players and teams who choose to opt out of playing a fall season to do so without penalty or repercussion." The quarterback this morning joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the new morning show on ESPN Radio, to discuss what they're looking for.
My biggest message to them would just really just to get them to realize how bad our players want to play, and just the guys that, you know, the guys that have come back for their sixth year come back off of injury. I think that we owe it to those guys the most. I think if the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 all think that they can have a, you know, season safely, then I don't see any reason why the Big Ten couldn't do the same. Like I said earlier, I think what we're doing at Ohio State is very safe, and I think if we can get everybody on the same track in the conference, I think that'll be a safe way to actually conduct the season.
We're joined now by ESPN college football reporter Adam Rittenberg. Adam, thanks for the time. So what impact can this petition actually have?
Well, Jason, I think it will result in some details being shared at some point by the Big Ten, although the league has not directly reached out to the players. They are aware of the petition from Justin Fields, as well as those parents groups that have reached out. But as of now, not a ton of communication. And I think at the very least, they can have a little bit more transparency. That was a big frustration, both within and outside the league, around this decision. Not enough details, not enough real information as to why the Big Ten went this route. And so, will they overturn the decision? It's highly, highly unlikely. But at least there could be a dialogue for those players and parents who want some answers.
Well, Adam, you mentioned transparency. I was a little shook looking at your Twitter earlier today. You said Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber said she was unclear if there was actually a vote by the chancellors and presidents. So at this point, where do they go?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty around this decision, especially starting with the original reports last Sunday, and then obviously the announcement made about 48 hours later. There's certainly some in the league that believe Commissioner Kevin Warren, who's a new commissioner, this was largely his movement. This is where he was. And obviously the president sort of came around to his thinking if they weren't there already. But there were some presidents in the league, Michigan's president in particular, that have expertise in this area and had real concerns about playing. So definitely some lingering concerns about how the decision came down. But again, I'd be surprised if the Big Ten walks it back at this point.
Adam, as always, we appreciate your insight and expertise. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go now to our panel. Anytime I get to hang out with a bunch of former players, I got to get a reaction to this. So, David Pollack, we'll start with you as a former player. When you see Justin Fields using his voice to try and move this and make change, what does it mean? What does it say to you?
Well, it says that we're in 2020 and that the shift of college football, the landscape has changed big time. And players have used their power more than ever, and they're going to continue to. And I love it, man. I love that these kids are fighting for a season. I love that moms and dads are fighting for a season. That's why you go to the University of Ohio State. That's why you go to all these different universities, is to play football. And you understand 100% about there's some risk. And these guys are like, listen, we want to continue to have football. And again, in 2020, making their voices loud and clear on what they want.
Go ahead, Greg. When you see this, what kind of impact can it actually have?
I don't think it'll be much, but what I appreciate is that the players are speaking out against what they believe is unfair. I mean, they're the ones that are acknowledging the risk. They're the ones whose careers are a finite period of time. I've heard so many people over the last couple weeks, oh, well, they're just kids. They don't know any better. We got to protect them from themselves. Really? They're 18 years old. They can vote. They can serve our country. They can do all these things. They're adults by the letter of the law, and yet they can't determine what's in the best interest for them and their well-being and their health? Because I've heard constantly, well, it's about the health and safety of the student-athlete. I recognize that. I feel like it's a buzzword, but I recognize that. At least give the players the opportunity. If they want to play, by all means, they should be able to play. If they don't want to play, their eligibility and their scholarship should be protected. So I appreciate them speaking out. I just think it might be too little too late, given the decision the president's made just a couple days ago.
Greg, I've had this conversation with you before, and I don't quite understand the, if they want to play, they should be allowed to play. And so if a guy has a concussion and isn't allowed back on the field because they take his helmet, you're telling me that he should be allowed to play because, honestly, he's the one taking the risk. He's the one that's going to have to deal with issues beyond football, which we have now learned and witnessed. Many athletes dealing with that. Many of these same athletes that, when I played football, would get into fights with the medical staff to get their helmet back, to go back on the field and play when they've had a concussion. And so I am not in the belief that when we're talking medical situations, whether it's this pandemic, whether it's a concussion, whether it's heat stroke where people have passed away, I think we look to leaders, the grown-ups, the adults, it doesn't matter to me that they can drive, they can drink, they can vote. That doesn't matter to me. When we look at medical situations in sports, we look to the medical profession to make those decisions for athletes. Because if it was up to athletes, we would play with broken bones, which we have. We play with concussions. We go through heat stroke. And that's when people get in trouble.
Joey, I don't disagree with what you're saying. But here's the thing. In the grand scheme of things, I don't understand why the Big Ten felt like they needed to come out and cancel their season when they did. And that, to me, is the biggest mistake here of all. If you're going to wait, if it's always changing, by the way, the medical stuff is always changing. The saliva testing that just came out from Yale studies, like, it's always changing. So why on earth would you pull the plug now when you've been doing everything in your power so far to keep everybody safe? It just, you release a schedule, bro, and then you cancel the season. I don't think it was the smartest way to handle this, and it could have been handled a lot better. And that's why the players are like, wait a minute,
their first game,
sped his team.
Yeah, but I get that, David, but their first game was September 3rd. Now, that was probably a mistake that they had the schedule start so soon. But eventually, someone has to make a decision. And people keep screaming, we want information, we want somebody to lead, we want somebody to make a decision. So they made a decision. And so now you go from there. And that's just the way it is. But I don't believe that it should be up to the athletes or their parents whether they play.
Well, and Joey, let's stick there for a second, because you mentioned the parents, and that has to be a huge factor here. I mean, it feels different, to your point, as much as you want an athlete to be able to protect themselves, who am I to tell a parent whether or not their child is safe?
What do you mean, who are you? These people, they go to a school. And so if you look at parents who've had people pass away, Jordan McNair, Maryland, like, they look to the school, they look to the coaching staff, they look to the medical people to protect their young men, because they're not there, they send them away to school. And so this idea that we have that these guys should be able to decide what they do, that their parents should be able to decide what they do, I'm telling you, look back and talk to these parents who have lost a young man in football-related situations and then say that this doesn't matter. Greg, I see what you're saying, but in this situation where we don't know where this thing is going, I don't understand how someone's parent number one, should be allowed to, but I don't understand why they would say, go on out there, even though we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, explain to me this then, Joey, because I heard Barry Alvarez detail what their fall plan was for student athletes. And I heard him say, yeah, mm-hmm. they're going to be at the facility up to 20 hours a week. They're going to be studying. They're going to be going and watching tape. They're going to be going through drills and working out. So essentially, they're going mm-hmm. through a season. The one thing they're not doing is playing games on Saturday. So you're telling me the only way that they could potentially catch the virus is during that 60-minute football game? That's just not accurate. So if you're going to sit here and tell me about health and safety and how we got to protect these kids from themselves, then why are there 50,000 kids back on campus? Why is it safe to go to school? Why is it safe to practice? It's safe to do all those things as long as it's good with that, but it's not safe to play games. That to me is ludicrous. So I think giving the players saying, hey, you can go to class, you can be on campus, you can do all these things and practice, but not play games, that to me is the height of hypocrisy. And that's part of the problem that I have with the decision that the Big Ten decided to make.
If that's great, but if in class they start tackling each other, grabbing each other, sweating on each other, then we got a different conversation. Hey, Greg, hey, look, I know you to be a very intelligent guy, but if you are telling me that sitting in a classroom in my desk across from what wouldn't be Paula because he never went to class, but across from like other people who are in class, if you're comparing that to 85 yeah. guys putting on uniforms, going out tackling one another, traveling to other stadiums, tackling the other 85 guys in a Greg, come on now, you can't tell me that there is anywhere that that is the same. But I will say this. At this
I'll tell you why it would be the same.
They're as safe as they possibly can be. I agree with that. But when they start playing yeah. and tackling and traveling and other students, then we're talking about a different animal.
Get him, Greg.
No,
don't let him off the hook.
Where you're
Go.
Coming from, and that's a reasonable take. That's a reasonable take. Let me ask you this. If I mm-hmm. got tested on Thursday and I tested negative, would you be okay with me tackling you? I just got tested. I'm negative. What I can't guarantee is when I'm in the classroom sitting next to just an average student, I can't guarantee that they aren't
positive.
Or
at a restaurant.
Or yep. at a bar or in an elevator yeah. or walking down the uh-huh. hallway. It doesn't matter. But what I can tell you is that if I'm going to be tackled by Joey Galloway on Saturday, that's because he was tested and tested negative within the last 24 or 48 hours. So I would be fine with that. I understand social distancing, all that stuff. I totally respect that. But if you test the players the right protocol like everyone's talking about, then technically battlefield, the playing field that is Saturday, should be relatively safe.
Boom.
Transparency is going to be a big issue here,
close.
Gentlemen. I got to cut you off. Transparency is going to be a big deal in all of this and what moves forward. And it raises the next question we're going to get into. Did the Big Ten and Pac-12, did they jump the gun too early when they canceled football this fall? Could they have waited? Would it have made a difference? We'll analyze that. Plus, the SEC keeps pushing forward. We now know the week one matchup. So the question is, which one's most interesting? We'll ask the panel, and we'll do that coming up also. Got a big stacked hour coming for you on College Football Live today.
We have to do everything we can to be over, above, and over the top preventative.
Day three of isolation.
I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm not. But, like, you have to be held accountable for what you did wrong. I want to make that known.
I was a dumbass. I was the one that did it. I should have known what was on that shirt.
It's going to be like the Bulls documentary where it's just going to be nothing censored, everything goes through.
This can be special. You don't want to give up something that can be special.
That's the truth. That's cutting right to the chase.
Oklahoma State football streaming now on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. You don't want to miss it. We don't know what the Big 12 is going to be doing this season, but we do know that COVID-19 already impacting Oklahoma with 9 Sooners testing positive for the virus over the weekend. Sooners coach Lincoln Riley chimed in about what that's going to mean for them.
What we've learned up to this point is when they're here, you know, we've done a pretty good job. We got to continue to do well and get better. When they're out of here, that's been the most danger. And I think, you know, what you referenced in terms of students coming back, I think that's a concern of every single college football coach in the country right now is, you know, is how is that managed? Because, you know, the numbers game becomes much more difficult any way you slice it when these students all get back to campus, like what's happening here at our university right now.
Expectations and behavior are also huge around Alabama. Football Twitter was giving people a not-so-subtle reminder. Chris Owen used his Twitter platform for a mask message, and athletic director Greg Byrne echoed the same sentiment. Twitter getting after it there. Should be noted that the FDA has now given emergency approval for COVID-19 saliva testing, which the NBA is utilizing in the Orlando bubble. The technology developed by Yale is simpler, less invasive, and importantly, drastically less expensive at about $10 per sample. Last week, before the saliva testing was approved, Wisconsin athletic director Barry Alvarez spoke about the impact rapid testing had on their decision to postpone when he said this. We worked in conjunction with the group here that's working on a saliva test that gives us quick results. We thought that potentially that could be an answer for us if we had a saliva test that we could get back within an hour. We were really excited about that, but we just couldn't move it fast enough. Those are things we are hoping can be rectified and we could have available come spring. So with that being said, it raises a question. Did they decide to postpone their schedule too early? Joey, I'll ask you. Could waiting have helped in this decision-making process?
It's hard to say whether waiting would help or not help. I mean, we've been at this for months now, and the information comes out every single week is different than the week before. And so I truly think that we're going to find out if waiting worked, if we're going to find out if it works with ACC and the SEC and the Big 12. But it hasn't worked so far. It didn't work. Major League Baseball is the closest thing we can compare to, and they're traveling, they're playing, and they're canceling games. The Cincinnati Reds and Pirates are playing this weekend, which I'm a Pirates fan. Two games had to be canceled because a player on Cincinnati caught it. And so we're going to find out if waiting helps, but it hasn't helped so far.
I mean, Greg, could you find some value with the saliva testing being done by the NBA to how that could come into the college football community?
Yes. Joey, are we doing this every segment? I just need to know, because if I need to put my gloves on, I need to put my eye black on too if we're going to duke it out, because absolutely, time is on our side. Well, our back is not against the wall right now. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to save the football season, but if you can buy me an extra week, maybe 2 weeks, to maybe allow technology to advance to a point where testing becomes more inexpensive or it becomes more reliable, if it's easier to actually generate the results, I mean, those are all things that are very reasonable. Not to mention, there are some people estimating that we could have a vaccine by October 1st. I mean, these are reasonable possibilities. So I don't understand why it does you any good to cancel at this point, seeing how fast technology is and seeing how many smart people are trying to figure out exactly a way to kind of mend some of the issues that we've dealt with as a country over the last several weeks. So pushing it back as long as humanly possible is to your advantage. That's why I think what the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did was a massive mistake, especially if things move the way I think they might.
Well, to Greg's point, at least the Pac-12 has given us some look at why they made the decisions they made. Pollock, with all of this testing and the changing that's constantly being done, the Big Ten has been very quiet. Is transparency more important through this process?
That would be like me saying, hey, guys, I have information about something, but I'm not going to share it with you. That's critically important. Yes, I think everybody needs to be transparent across the board. You need to, if you have information that says, you know, this is more, it's more of an illness and there's more side effects than we think, then of course you should share the information. Listen, and that's why this is all stupid. And that's why the NCAA, I don't think it's going to exist in a year. I think the Power Five is going to come together and literally form a power committee. We can't assign one person because that's not going to happen. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to do a committee. I think they're going to form a committee that speaks for the Power Five and speaks for all college football. So because it doesn't look like this where you're coming out and you think you got more information. Well, where you live obviously dictates a lot of this too. Don't forget, you know, out west, the testing is a lot different and the spikes are different than they are in other places. So it would be nice to have more uniformity. But yes, if you got information, my God, for the well-being of student athletes, you 100% should share it. And I think if they had information that was that pertinent or really, really important or that was in your face, I think they would have already shared that already and said, this is why we stand by our decision.
Yeah, but Pollock, to that point, there was no reason that these conferences couldn't have worked together right now. I mean, the SEC was admittedly surprised the Big Ten made the decision they made. If when
they don't
could
have
work
to work together now, they don't have to. They work independently. And guess what? The NCAA doesn't even determine whether they have football. What the heck does the NCAA do besides enforce stupid transfer rules? I mean, my goodness, like I just They literally don't decide whether we play football. So they operate exclusively of each other. There is no communication if they don't want communication.
But if they didn't work together when they had the chance to, why would they decide that they're going to put themselves in a situation where they have to work together?
Wait a minute. So you could get rid of the NCAA and make a lot more money and come together and form their own committee and make more money? No, they don't like money. That's not a good thing.
Okay, but Greg, let me get Greg in on this, because Greg, you live down in Alabama. You're around that. Can you see a world where Alabama is going to make compromise because of what the Pac-12 wants to do in a situation like this?
No, it's an arms race. And that's why the decisions were made the way they were made. The Big Ten felt as though they could get out in front and kind of control the narrative. Because if the Big Ten shut down and cited health and safety, then certainly the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC would have to follow suit. Well, it's kind of backfiring right now on the Big Ten, frankly, because they shut down too soon. Technology has now advanced just a little bit. And it appears as though the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC are progressing. And could you guys imagine, seriously, just think about this. Could you imagine the harm that could be done to the Big 10 and the Pac-12 if, in fact, the SEC, Big 12, and ACC are able to play not just a season, but a full season and crown a national championship? So that could be very harmful to the presidents, the athletic directors, and Commissioner Kevin Warren in the Big Ten. The Pac-12 had no hope. You knew they were shutting down. But the Big Ten, at least, you thought might try to go forward with the season. So they're already kind of in damage control mode right now, trying to deal with what might have been a premature decision.
I think when we saw each conference come out with a different start date, just let you know that there was no chance that they were working together. That seems like the easiest thing to come to an agreement on is when a season starts. Because besides this season, typically speaking, everyone starts within that 1 or 2 weeks of each other to begin a season. And so we get through a season that's uniform, you get into your bowl games, you get the national championship, and then we have this situation that happens that everybody should have been somewhat on the same page, whether you had a single leader or not. I would just assume that the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 could get on the telephone and say, let's at least come to a start date, and then we work from there. And I think that was the very first part of the dysfunction of all this. And I can't ever see these five Power Five conferences ever coming together on their own and saying, hey,
committee.
Let's all make decisions for
committee.
One another.
Can't be one person. It's got to be a committee.
Yeah, but you still have to agree, though. You still have to agree to have this committee. And right now, not only is there no uniformity amongst the Power Five conferences, the schools in these conferences are now splitting apart and going about their own agenda. So I can't ever see it happening.
It would take too much sacrifice of ego in my mind for too many people to come together and make this work, no matter how much money's at stake, no matter what Pollock says. All right, we can't agree on anything on this show, but I think we can agree that the SEC slate's out week one. We're excited for it. The question is, which games are going to have the guys jumping out of their seats with excitement? You'll find out next. College Football Live coming back at you.
We have pride in being the SEC. It is the greatest conference in the United States.
Everybody's got a job to do. You do yours.
I want to punish them for 4 quarters.
Let the games begin. The SEC has set their week one schedule, which will be played Saturday, September 26th. The rest of the conference slate will be released at 7 Eastern tonight. Alabama will travel to Missouri, and Mike Leach will make his SEC debut at Mississippi State. We'll travel to the reigning national champions, LSU Tigers. So we finally have games to look forward to, which means we have games we get to talk about. Greg McElroy, I will let you go first, my friend. What game on that slate has you the most pumped?
Well, a little under the radar, actually, Fitz. Kentucky at Auburn. Kentucky, a team last year that went 8-5, won five of their final six with a wide receiver playing quarterback. That's right. You heard me right. In comes Terry Wilson or potentially Joey Gatewood, the transfer that was the Cam Newton lookalike from Auburn. So if he gets the start, he's going against his former team, and Auburn should have high hopes off of what was a very impressive season last year with a true freshman starting quarterback in Bo Nix?
Pollock, which one you got?
I'll take me some Mike Leach. I mean, entering the conference, we've talked about him for years, and will this offense work off the field every bit as much as on the field with Mike Leach? But also, when you think about LSU replacing Joe Burrow, replacing Joe Brady, the defending national champs, can they be a one-a-year guy or one great-year team, or are they going to be the team that's back every single year and adding their name to the list with Alabama and Clemson and Georgia and Ohio State that every year you start to go, all right, they're fighting for a playoff spot?
I'm going with the Tennessee-South Carolina game. And for years, we keep asking, is someone going to challenge in the SEC East? Every year, it seems like it's Georgia, and then we're looking for that second team. Tennessee is recruited very well. South Carolina, another talented team that seems to lose their depth as the season goes on, and they can't quite get over the hump. I think this game will sort of tell us who could be that next team that hopefully challenges Georgia, which has now lost Jake Fromm. They're going to reload for sure, but we'll find out if someone else in the East can battle Georgia.
Well, the SEC Now football schedule release show presented by Regions will air live on SEC Network at 7 p.m. today, hosted by Dari Noka with analysis by Greg McElroy, Roman Harper, Laura Rutledge, Kirk Herbstreit, Reese Davis, and more. The show will break down the 2020 SEC football schedule in its entirety. Now the games are being announced, we can finally do what we love to do. We can obsess over quarterbacks. We'll look at the best battles for starting jobs. We'll do that next coming up. And don't sleep on it. There will be an AP preseason poll. That's right. It will happen. And there's one thing about how it's being put together that I'm telling you, you'll be shocked by. It will blow your mind. We'll tell you about it next. And don't forget, Sunday, we'll kick off our fifth annual fantasy football marathon with more than 24 straight hours of coverage on ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app. All the fantasy insight to get you ready for your season. Georgia quarterback transfer JT Daniels has not yet been cleared to play after injuring his ACL last season. Former USC QB is expected to compete for the starting spot this fall with another transfer from Wake Forest, Jamie Newman. Here's what Coach Kirby Smart had to say about the quarterback position at Georgia this fall.
Yeah, we're excited about all five of those guys. I'm going to be honest with you. Those guys have done a really good job in their Zoom meetings, paying attention. And, you know, with Jamie missing with the foot injury, we're talking about walkthroughs, guys. You know, it's not like we're out there. I think there's a misnomer out there. We've been able to practice. We haven't been able to practice. We've been able to walk through. And, you know, he does a really good job of standing behind the huddle, standing behind the play, imaginary taking the snap, getting the mental reps. But until you get out there and do it, it's not as easy. And he was able to do that, I want to say, around the 9th or 10th one. He was able to go out there and do some things with us. But DeJuan's doing a great job. Carson Beck's doing a great job. So is Stetson's doing a really good job. All those guys are really competing, as well as JT. And I think each one has come in, and they all have individual strengths. It's going to be important that we find out what each one of those individual strengths are and weaknesses and what we can improve over the next 4 to 5 weeks to figure out who the best guy for the job is.
Well, who better to break down a quarterback battle than our resident quarterback, Greg McElroy. So, Greg, how do you see the Georgia quarterback situation playing out?
Well, it's kind of going to be predicated on what type of offense they're going to run. Right now, y'all, that might be the biggest mystery in the SEC. Is what is this new offense going to look like under Coach Monken? And we really don't know. Is it going to be more air raid? Because if it is, that might suit the skill set that JT Daniels has. Underneath, very accurate with the football. Not a huge arm, but very accurate, good decision maker. But if it's a system in which they really want the quarterback to use his legs and mobility, and that suits Jamie Newman, who is an excellent pocket passer, but is 6'4", big, and very athletic on top of it all, too. So I think Jamie Newman is the better of the two options at this point. But I still don't want to close the door on JT Daniels just yet.
Do you think Kirby Smart's going to run an air raid?
I think it's a possibility.
No!
Air raid principles are different than true air raid.
Air raid
principles are different than true air raid.
Here's something I think you'll see this year. I think you will see Georgia come into you know how 2020's been weird, right? Everything's been different. I think you're going to look at Georgia football and you're going to go, wait a minute, Are they finally with the new age and actually with the norm now in college football that they'll have a quarterback that can run the football and they'll run some zone read? But wait a minute, with a quarterback that can actually pull it and keep that backside playing honest and to kind of divide the field in half, I think it's going to be crazy. But I think Jamie Newman's going to be the guy. I think he's truly, truly special, but it's going to be fun to watch.
It'd be interesting to see Georgia come in and have a completely different look than what we see from Jake Fromm. And so Jamie Newman brings an aspect to the game that, you know, that we see in college football now, that if a guy can do both, he puts a stress on a defense that is different than we've seen in the past. And if you're Georgia and you're thinking, how can I climb the ladder? How can I get past Alabama? How can I get past the LSUs of the world? It might be a quarterback that can move in the pocket, maybe break out, make some plays with his legs, and sort of keep their offense on the field. So it'll be interesting to see Jamie Newman in that offense.
I'll get bold quick. I'm telling you, Jamie Newman might be this year's Jordan Love. Remember Utah State? Guy thought he was going to be a top 10, top 50 pick. Ends up falling to the end of the first round. Goes with the Green Bay Packers. Jamie Newman is an absolute freak show. As far as just raw horsepower and talent, the guy rivals just about anybody in college football. Now, maybe not necessarily Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, but a cut just ever so slightly below. This kid's very accurate, has a massive arm, and is very gifted athletically. So if he can refine his craft, tighten up the decision-making just a little bit, and learn how to layer the football, sky's the limit, man. They have a special talent there in Athens. They just got to make sure that he's more consistent throughout the course of what should be an interesting 10-game season.
You know, I love you, Greg, but I think air raid principles are different than the air raid. Might be the most cover your butt statement ever made on this show. So, Pollock, Pollock, give me one quarterback battle that you're looking at this fall.
I'm going to Greg's school. Greg talked about Georgia. I'm going to Alabama. I think Mac Jones, you saw him last year have some great moments at the quarterback spot. I don't think Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback at Alabama when the season's over. I think Bryce Young, another guy that's going to come in and kind of built smaller frame. He's not a big guy, kind of like Tua was a smaller guy, but a really good athlete, can sling the football all over the yard. So it's going to be Bryce Young versus Mac Jones, and I think Bryce Young will have more of that that magic that you've seen with Tua, that spark. I don't think Nick Saban will make the same mistake he made with Jalen Hurts, Joey. I think he'll pull the trigger, and I think Bryce Young will lead this team, and I think he's going to have to if this team wants to be a championship team.
Interesting.
I think, quickly, Joey,
clearly,
on Bama.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. You got Oklahoma. I wanted to go Bama, but I'm just saying I think it's going to be really hard for Bryce Young to make up that gap that currently exists because there wasn't a full spring. There isn't going to be a full fall. So I don't disagree with you. He might eventually unseat Mac Jones, but it's Mac Jones' show to start, I would assume, David.
All right, so Joey, you were going to go
Oklahoma.
Nobody's
had more fun at the quarterback position. Yeah, I'm going to Oklahoma because, I mean, you go Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and they all put up the kind
good.
Of numbers they put up. I want to be next. I want to be next in line, and it appears that it doesn't matter who that guy is.
Nope.
Whoever they put in that with that offense has been outstanding. And so that is the place I want to look at and see whether Spencer Rattler comes in and be the next guy. That's the name I've heard to be next in line. But what they've been able to do with that offense and whoever's playing quarterback will be fun to watch.
I mean, Lincoln Riley has to walk in, Greg, like literally walk in a quarterback's house, the number one quarterback in the country, and just be like, are you watching? Like, I'm going to leave the scholarship right here. Like, you should go ahead and sign right now before I leave because we're going to go get a good one, and you might win a Heisman and be the first pick like I just did back-to-back years and then took another guy for a transfer and made him a second-round pick. Like, just, yeah, I got you, kid.
Is it one of those where you, like, walk in on a recruiting visit and you got, like, hey, see this? This is Baker Mayfield's Heisman. Hey, see this? Kyler Murray's Heisman. See this? This is our second place finish last year, but Jalen had a chance too. Like, is that how you enter the house on a recruiting visit when you're Lincoln Riley? Because that's probably
Skippy.
How I'd go about it if I were him.
You dang right.
No, I don't think you even need to do that, gentlemen. You just send a you up text. That's all that needs. You just you up, and then the quarterback gets it, and he's like, yeah, I'm signing with you. That's the end of it.
Next up.
We don't know who's going to be where in the quarterback conversation, but we do know one thing about this season. There will be an AP preseason poll, but who is included and how it's being handled? The answer is going to surprise you. We'll break it down and what it all means next. The AP preseason poll is still coming out this year, and shockingly, voters are being told to rank all teams, even teams that have already decided they won't be playing this fall. But don't worry, if they're spring football, they'll also then do a poll for that as well. The poll comes out August 24th. The question is, when you've got a poll that's coming out that includes teams that may not even play football this fall, what does the poll actually mean? Joey Galloway, when you hear that the AP is doing this, what's your reaction?
Well, I don't know that any one of us on this board, on this panel, have ever taken the preseason poll very seriously anyhow. But I think it makes sense for what's going to happen. I mean, even though Greg is sitting there telling us that the SEC is going to play and they're putting out their schedule, they're not playing. So you might as well include everybody on this AP poll because nobody's going to play football and it's all even across the board. So get out of here, Greg, with that recruiting nonsense. Everyone is shutting down.
Scrooge, the Grinch who stole college
you
football.
You must have some serious inside info that I am not privy to. What I've been amazed by, like, what do you do? So Ohio State, let's just use Ohio State as an example, because they'll probably come in number two, three at the very worst, right? So what happens if, like, other teams are – do they fall in the rankings if they don't play? Like, I mean, or do they stay
move up.
At three?
They
I
move
mean,
up. How do, they move up.
They're going to be at one.
So they could in all serious – they could be undefeated. Ohio State, the only undefeated team in college football at 0-0. That is number one in the country, according to the AP. That'd be pretty remarkable to watch as things maneuver throughout the season.
Fitz, we don't need to waste any more time, bro. I think we all know that value of preseason polls aren't much anyways, so this just validates that.
But is there not, Pollock, is there not an inevitable argument that we could see? Let me be the opposite of Joey. I'm going to be a beacon of light, right? Let's say we get fall football and spring football. Now everybody's happy. You're going to end up with the number one after fall and then likely a different number one after spring. How's everybody going to sort of turn that into one national champion, Pollock?
I don't foresee that. I'll be Joey, okay? I'll be Joey for you for sure. I don't see spring football happening no matter what. I don't see any way, shape, or form that they find a way to make spring football happen. There's too many – I just think there's way too many variables with the NFL, with guys, with scholarships, with weather, with by the way, okay, let's beat your brains in for a couple months in these months and then go beat your brains in August, September, October, November, December. So I don't think there's any way that happens regardless. I don't think you'll have a fall and a spring season.
I don't see a spring working out just simply because, you know, if you did have a spring season and that is a shortened season, do guys lose a year of eligibility to play in that spring season? Like, how those kind of things work out is interesting to me, and especially with the draft. Now, does a Justin Fields and a Trevor Lawrence, do they play in a spring season? So I don't see that part of it working out. But as far as, like, do you have a one then and a one in the spring? Sure, why not? If you're going to rank teams, then you might as well do it in the fall and in the spring and just see what you come out with.
According to Joey, I guess we'll see y'all around 2023 for the next football. So no fall, no spring, no fall of 21. I mean, 2023, see y'all then. But in all seriousness, like, can we finally just think about preseason polls? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, a daily radio show host here, y'all. Like, y'all get it. It's the greatest fodder in the world. But they are completely worthless. I mean, absolutely completely worthless. So you're supposed to be based, oh, well, last year you were good, so this year you're probably good because a decent amount of players come back. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous that they would try to put out a poll when teams aren't even participating. It's crazy.
So to be clear, Joey thinks no football at all this year. Pollock, you say no spring football. Greg, where are you? I mean, where do you think we land?
I'm with Pollock. No, there's no way they pull off spring football. You can't play spring football in site player safety. You can't. So I think if you play in the fall or you don't play at all, and that's kind of how I envision this the next few months going, it's gonna be pretty wild
now,
to watch.
So now player safety matters to you, Greg? It matters to you in the spring, but it doesn't matter now. Just I I'm confused, Greg. I'm confused whether already,
Greg,
it's
Greg,
player
you already
safety
debunked
over football
that.
Or which one.
You already debunked that, Greg. Everybody go watch the A's and watch how Greg took it to Joey and told him about that earlier. So y'all just rewind if you yarded.
Yeah.
You guys all need to hug. This is college football. It's
funny how he teases
really
it up.
Contentious
he
at this
tees
point.
It up right when he knows we don't have enough time. As soon as we know we don't have enough time, here, Greg, tee it up, and then we're done. Yeah.
What I know is that Clemson fans are quick to point out they have in their minds the best stadium experience in all the land. Dabo chimed in on a quiet Death Valley, and you'll hear that coming up next. Don't want to miss that. And Saturday, it's another UFC fight night from Las Vegas, and this one is finally going down. Pedro Munhoz takes on former lightweight champ Frankie Edgar in the bantamweight main event. The main card starts at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN, with the prelims at 5:30 Eastern on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app.
I wake up and I hear my mom and she's like, Fiona, Fiona. And I'm like, what? She was like, Fiona, there's a fire. We need to get out.
She was telling me that her car was catching fire and I couldn't help her. And then the call was lost.
We like could have died and we survived. This is crazy. I'm really worried that like nowhere is gonna feel like home ever again.
Now I'm like, all my anger and energy is going towards Asuka right now.
Now's the time when you dig inside of yourself and say, do I want it or do I not want it?
They were a mild, meek bunch of girls when they started, and they're not that anymore.
You can watch the television premiere of Bobcats on 3 Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN2, incredible and heartwarming story about the Paradise High School girls basketball team. Their perseverance after the most devastating wildfires in California history destroyed their entire town. You don't want to miss that incredibly inspiring and tear-jerking moment. College football live now. Gentlemen, when I think of trailblazers in the college football world, I think SWAC. Well, at least today, their conference has announced their spring football plan. 6 league games, 1 non-conference game starting February 27th. Conference title game May 7th. So, Greg McElroy, I know you're not big on spring football, but now you hear a plan. So do you think with that plan it could work for the rest of the college football community?
No. To finish up what might be a national championship in the middle of May and then re-rack it just a couple months later for fall camp, it's just not enough time. To play 10, 12, 14 games is really, really challenging over the course of 5 months. Well, try playing 20 games over the course, or 20 games or 22 games, whatever the number may be. So I don't agree with this plan. If you're an FCS school or an FCS program, I get it. You have to try to find a solution. But I think if you're an FBS school, it's going to be a really difficult thing to pull off and then still cite player safety like they've done over the last few weeks.
I still think that if I'm any other team outside or any leagues, I talked about this a while ago, of starting my own spring football season and using it as a springboard for my own platform, for my own TV dollars, for go to ESPN, go to the other companies, go to Hulu TV and YouTube TV. I would consider moving my sport to the spring and keeping it in the spring. There is great football in all these divisions that every year we don't get to watch, we don't get to see because the big boys rule the television and we get to see them and we got so many fans that follow them. They play great football at these levels. I would encourage it. I think it would be awesome if you had it in the spring, and I'd love to keep it in the spring.
I would like to see how it works out, though. And I mentioned earlier, like, if we don't play this season and you get another year of eligibility, do you use a year in the spring and then you use a year in the fall? Like, I'm wondering how that works with eligibility, because if I have to burn a season to play a shortened spring season, I would much rather just wait for the fall to come back around, play a full season, get back on schedule, than to burn one on a shortened spring season.
Well, one thing I know that one group as of now is not going to have to wait till spring, at least currently, are Clemson fans. Now, they're going to get to watch their team play, but likely not in the stadium. And that's something that Coach Dabo Swinney was on Packard Durham this morning, and his quote was, if there's no fans, there's no fans. Whatever. We just want to play. Joey, what's the real impact for football players on the field with no fans in the stands?
I don't know that there is a real impact. Besides, I think when you watch NBA games, you're watching NHL playoff games right now with no fans in the stands. It just seems kind of strange. It seems like it's a scrimmage games. It doesn't, like, nobody is, like, getting upset. It's almost like, hey, bud, we're going to go play this game. They're all heading back to the same place and hang out together. It's just different. And football will feel completely different with no fans. It'll be like practicing against another team, which we've all done before.
Well, Pollock, let me get your thoughts on this, because I've had a couple of different people tell me that communication is going to be different. Like, defensive players will be able to hear audibles. So what, from a defensive player's mindset, what advantage does it give you on the field?
Well, hold on. The best advantage you have as a defense is crowd noise. I mean, that's the best advantage you have of taking on an offense. I'm just telling you, from a defensive line perspective, is when they can't communicate and the snap count is dictated to them and it's got to be silent, like, they have to communicate and they can't hear the snap count. I think it's a huge benefit. Just energy, emotion, all that stuff. So if we're not going to have fans and we're in 2020 and we get weird, because that's what we do in 2020, because it's very strange and very different, why not mic the crap out of everything? I want to hear everything. I want to hear all the calls. I want to be in the huddle. I want an XFL Greg McElroy type experience that we had this past year. I think it would be absolutely awesome. Hey, you could see coaches bringing their team in the stands to do adjustments. Like, they don't have to worry about the sidelines. They just walk right up in the stands and draw up what they need to draw up. I think it would be, if we're going to do it and it's going to be strange like this, let's make it the best experience ever and make you as a fan go, oh, that is so cool. I know that. I know the adjustment. Wait, let's look for this. It'll be sweet.
It would be a quarterback's nightmare. You'd have to change the terminology every single week, because you'd be listening back. All right, well, right this week is east. Right next week's going to have to be an even. Like, it would be a nightmare getting creative with that. But I think about it like this, y'all. It's going to be chalky. Like, we're going to see teams go on the road to an empty stadium environment, and the best team's going to win. Usually when you go on the road and you are the better team, you're not just playing the team that's on the opposite sideline. You're having to deal with the crowd as well. So the best teams, more often than not, in a COVID-ridden season, are probably going to win. So we might not see the upsets that we're used to seeing, because momentum and the crowd effect might not have as big of an impact. So I hope it doesn't lead to more blowouts. I hope it leads to still a lot of competitive games. But we might see the cream rise at the top probably a little more often, a little more consistently than we usually do throughout the season.
I'm just saying, I think it's weird that Pollock, the one guy that I know doesn't swear, wants to give me the opportunity to hear all of that, because the language would not be family friendly. Let's be honest about that.
That's Joey, why we got impact? The delay button, bro. We bleep it out, man. No, come on.
I mean, The Last Dance had all the bad language. I'll take all of it. Joey, any impact to the wide receiver position to having nobody in the stands?
No, not at all, except you'll hear some really good trash talk. The receivers and DBs like to talk trash, so you would hear all that going on. But, Greg, I want to go opposite here. I think that we might see a couple upsets, because if you're, like, the best team and you're on the road to play somebody and there's no fans and you just come in and you think you're just going to roll in there, who knows? Somebody might jump up and get some upsets in this thing. It might happen.
What I love about
this
show is...
Shut up. You said there's not even going to be a season, Joey, so you shut up.
It started with the disagreement between Joey and Greg. It ends with the disagreement between Joey and Greg. Be sure to check out the rest of the SEC schedule coming at you tonight. Gentlemen, it has been a fun hang. Thanks for hanging out with us.